Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthcare Business Women's Association Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Julie Kelly, and I'm not only an HBA volunteer leader, but your host for today's program. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the HBA is a global nonprofit organization comprised of individuals and organizations from across the healthcare industry committed to achieving gender parity in leadership positions, facilitating career and business connections, and providing effective practices that enable organizations to realize the full potential of their female talent. Now, today's theme is building an entrepreneurial team, which sounds very exciting, but really not an easy task. How do you organize a team of self-starters to work together and deliver common results without clipping their entrepreneurial wings? Now, before we get started, you may know that the HBA European chapter has an affinity group for entrepreneurs. The purpose of this group is to provide support to women with that entrepreneurial spirit and to help them develop the skills that they need to become courageous leaders and team members. Now, this group defines entrepreneurship as a mindset, embracing everyone with an entrepreneurial spirit, no matter what their role is in an organization. It's about an attitude and an approach to thinking that actively seeks out change. It's about critical thinking and continuous improvement. And of course, it's about driving innovation. Check out their online community site for robust resources relevant to the needs of women. This engaging affinity group is the result of the effort of the HBA and the outstanding global network of women and men in healthcare sharing their expertise and experience at all career levels to help other women succeed. And today, I have a few of these expert leaders from our European region to share their insight on building entrepreneurial teams, Julie Adrian, Darius Hughes, and Jean Bolger. Welcome, leaders.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie. Very good. And everybody, that was very well synchronized. Thank you for joining. Let's start our discussion today with Julie Adrian, who is the President of Communications in Europe at Syneos Health. Julie, tell us a bit about yourself.
So I've been in healthcare communications for nearly three decades. So I guess you could say that healthcare is a passion, and communications really is one of my passions. And leading teams in the industry is another way that I really find a lot of joy in this area, big and small teams. And along with that comes the entrepreneurial way of helping folks find what they love in their jobs and careers, and then matching it to a business opportunity. So very excited to be here to talk today.
Great. So have you been part of the HBA for a long time? Julie, tell us a little bit about your involvement.
So yes, I've actually been on the board of the Southern California chapter and in various roles over a number of years, from marketing to the president role, and then now having been in Europe, in London for a little over 2 years, I'm on the advisory board. So I've been a member, I think, maybe almost 20 years, which is very exciting.
Wow.
And really proud of how the organization has grown and evolved over the years, and really been an amazing trusted resource for me, for sure.
Absolutely, and me as well. So, Julie, what does being entrepreneurial mean to you, and what's it mean to your company?
So I think, you know, having done this for like I said, nearly three decades, it is about knowing who you are, first and foremost, and what makes you tick, and then staying true to that in all that you do. So if you're in the right company and you're in the right place, you can really always find a way to be true to your personal goals as well as supporting a business imperative. And I think at Syneos Health, one of the things we really value is passion. You know, couple that with collaboration and kind of challenging, and you've got the right mix, I feel, of what's at the core of entrepreneurialism. And we really support that at the individual level as well as the team level. So I think it is about knowing if you're in the right environment for you.
Excellent. And how do you make that work, building an entrepreneurial team? Like I said, it's all this energy, and a lot of people, you know, with great desire to create. How do you rein that in for a strong team?
So I think that's a great question, because one of the things that's interesting about that question right now at our company is that we are offering a full kind of lab to life engagement for clients at Syneos Health. And what that means is it's necessitated a whole evolution of how we work in our day-to-day life. So even though we're within a very large global company, we've really had to function in a very kind of incubator entrepreneurial fashion. So, you know, we're really, like I said before, starting with the individual at heart and in mind, and seeing where, you know, what gets them up in the morning and what really motivates them, and then looking at this new offering that we've got with our clients and finding new opportunities for people and new challenges. It's created new roles, new ways of working, and new products and things that we can sell to our clients. It's very exciting. It's a time of change, but it's all about an entrepreneurial spirit.
Right. So to make it work, everybody has to be a self-starter. Everybody's got to get into it and be driven to collaborate and move things forward. So
yep,
what are some of the
exactly.
challenges that you're facing? Yep. What are some of the challenges that you're facing?
Right. So as I mentioned, you know, while it's wildly intellectually stimulating, it is also a lot of change, and it is creating something new for the industry, not just for our company or our organization. So the challenges are significant because you're bringing clinical people together with commercial people and really throwing everyone in and saying, you know, act like a pharma company, right? When we're all made up of different organizations and agencies and come from a very different place. Some come from a very creative place. Some come from a very medical clinical place. So we're learning as we go. And I think you just said it very well, that if you can get everybody rowing and focusing in the right direction and have kind of a collective spirit of entrepreneurialism and working together, you can sort anything out. It might not be easy, but you can find a way.
Absolutely. Julie, thanks for giving us your perspective. Now let's take a turn and talk to Darius Hughes. He's the head of vaccines at Pfizer UK. Welcome, Darius. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Julie, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so as you said, my name's Darius Hughes. I'm head of vaccines at Pfizer UK, have been for about 6 years. I'm a pharmacist by profession, and I've worked in hospital pharmacy, retail pharmacy, and then most recently in the pharmaceutical profession for the last 25 years, and I've had multiple roles within Pfizer and other pharmaceutical companies. And really what gets me up in the morning, what my passions are building powerful teams, seeing those teams develop, and having a laser beam focus on patients and our customers.
Excellent. So we're so glad to have you on this call. Tell us a little bit about how you can build entrepreneurial team in a large organization like Pfizer.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily the easiest of jobs, but I think the key for me is to use the power of the large organization, but to approach it from an individual entrepreneurial mindset. So within large organizations, there's lots of rules, there's lots of constructs, and some people see those as barriers or hurdles to get over. The way I see them is that they're great guardrails to make sure that you're fully supported in what you do. So you can work within those guardrails, but be an entrepreneur. Take this business as it were your own and behave as if it were your own. So take those risks, be entrepreneurial, be innovative within the confines and the close supportive nature of a large organization.
Excellent. And what are your thoughts on leadership impacting innovation? How do you get that going in your organization?
Well, leadership's everything, particularly when you're looking at a large organization, as I just said, working within those confines. So for me, really, the leadership is the key to impacting innovation. I put it down to three things. The first job of the leader is to provide that structure, that overall clarity, the goals, the mission, the vision of the team, and make sure that we have the right people in the right place to do the right thing. The next thing is, once you have that team, it's to empower the team. It's really to give them the ownership of the goals and the deliverables and the mission that you're trying to get to. And make sure that you've got their back. Make sure that you don't have a risk culture. And that's the third thing for me is the leader sets the culture. You've got to make sure that you empower your teams, you allow them to be free, and you allow them to make mistakes, and you support them all the way through any innovation and any risk that they might be taking.
Right. That whole idea about risk, risk-taking is often associated with entrepreneurship. So what's the biggest risk you or your team have taken?
So I prefer not to take it, call it risk. I think that probably brings up the wrong antibodies in a vaccine team. I prefer to look at it as innovation and calculated risk. And what's for sure is that if you do exactly the same thing as you did yesterday today, then you'll end up with the same results. So I always say to my team, entrepreneurship and risk-taking is about making sure that you understand what you're doing, making sure that you're calculating those risks, and really being innovative in your approach to all the challenges that you have. So we don't make big risks necessarily, but what we do is we make sure that everything that we do every time, every day is innovative, is different to how you did it before, because then you're going to get different results, and those results are then going to impact our patients and our customers.
Excellent. And what's your vision for your team? What's next?
Well, I've had the luck of building another fresh team. So as everyone's fully aware, within large organizations, there's always a lot of change. And so I've just recruited a large number of new members to my team. So we're literally setting it up again. We're starting from the beginning with our vision and our mission. We've got a team charter. We've got the team culture going. We're talking about the goals and responsibilities of individuals. And then we set off on another journey. So it's very exciting at the moment in a new phase for the team. But we've got some great things going on within Pfizer, particularly in vaccines. So we're really looking forward to getting more vaccines to more patients in the next few years.
Excellent, Darius. That sounds so exciting. Good luck to you. And we appreciate your insight today. You're welcome. Our third guest today is Jean Bolger, and she's the Vice President of Venture Investing at Johnson & Johnson. Welcome, Jean. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi there. Yeah, sure. So I'm a physician by training, and I have spent the vast majority of my career in the pharmaceutical industry, more than 30 years, I have to admit, at this stage. Roughly speaking, about 12 years of that, I spent in operational roles in subsidiary organizations. And then the next nearly 20 years in externally facing roles, which I'll tell you a bit more about. But it's interesting to me as I look back, I realized that I had the advantage, I guess, because I joined the industry that long ago and that early in my career and in small subsidiaries, that I had very hands-on roles anyhow as I was learning about our business and about, our internal business and the broader marketplace. That has served as a good advantage, right? Because I've always had roles where really I had to roll up my sleeves and figure out how to do stuff myself, you know, and I think that's obviously a very core criterion to be entrepreneurial, to be prepared to roll up your sleeves.
Absolutely. So can you tell us more about your role at the Innovation Center and how does having an entrepreneurial mindset impact the outcome?
Sure. So the way we're organized in recent years in J&J, well, so my actual daytime job is with the Corporate Venture Fund of J&J. It's called JJDC, and that's a very long-standing initiative in J&J. In fact, for more than 45 years, J&J has been investing in early-stage healthcare companies out of the fund, and that's, as I say, what I do as a day job. But I'm located at the Innovation Center, and this is a more recent initiative we set up 6 years ago at this stage, and the Innovation Center is in London. It's really a springboard into our whole innovation ecosystem in healthcare across Europe. So I work very closely, even though my day-to-day role is investing in companies and taking board seats on those companies when we invest and acting on behalf of the shareholder, that is J&J, in those companies. I work very closely across the ecosystem with my colleagues in the Innovation Center who have more of a collaboration and business development focus, if you like. So it's, you know, working in externally facing roles like this. And, you know, prior to doing this role in the investment team, I've actually worked in two large organizations in licensing and acquisition. So externally facing, like I said, for nearly 20 years overall. It absolutely is imperative that you have an entrepreneurial mindset because you're working with relatively early stage or very early stage companies, sometimes with scientific founders, and you can only work with people who think like that if you adapt your thinking to be like theirs.
So tell me, how do you build a team within that culture?
Well, so we work a lot when we're evaluating and reaching out to entrepreneurs and innovators and trying to evaluate their technology. We leverage the huge expertise that an organization like J&J has in terms of technology development and science. And so we really search out people in our organization who understand what it takes to kind of move from that sort of big company thinking, very process oriented, mm-hmm. to very agile, very adaptable kind of mindset, in order to engage effectively with these early stage companies and to leverage the value that they can bring to our organization and to healthcare more broadly, and of course, ultimately to patients. And
absolutely,
you know, you find those sort of people pretty easily once you engage with them. People are, you know, I would say, in large organizations like Darius referenced in Pfizer, you know, there are lots of entrepreneurial people in large organizations, and they're just queuing up to get involved in these types of projects.
Absolutely. So what thoughts can you share on ways we can move the needle and become more entrepreneurial in the pharmaceutical industry?
You know, I think we have to be very open-minded across the industry and recognize that no single company and no single team, no single inventor can really solve some of the unmet needs that we still have in healthcare. And 10 minds is always better than one. So, you know, working as teams, which, by the way, you know, is something that really comes naturally to women in leadership and women in all roles. So I think women have a really important role to play in this space. That's really the most important thing, I think, is to recognize that we can move away from a sort of an NIH, not invented here, kind of mentality, and recognize mm-hmm. that the next big innovation may be outside our organization. And we have to find a way to view that not as a competitive threat, but actually as an opportunity.
Brilliant. Jean, thank you for your thoughts. Now, we're just about out of time today. And I would like to thank Julie, Darius, and Jean for sharing all your information. And we hope that our listeners have learned something today about building entrepreneurial teams. And I want to thank you all for your commitment to the HBA and participating today, because without leaders like yourselves, the HBA mission cannot be realized. We all learn from the sum of our parts. So listeners, we hope you enjoyed the program, and we hope that you can apply some of these key takeaways from our speakers in your workplace. Thank you all, and this is Julie Kelly signing out for the HBA.